Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Text number 23. Madashraya katamrishta
Madashraya katamrishta
Shrinvanti katayanti cha
Shrinvanti katayanti cha
Tapanti vividas tapa
Tapanti vividas tapa
Naitan madgata chetasaha
Naitan madgata chetasaha
Madashraya katamrishta
Marashraya katamrishta
Shrinvanti katayanti cha
Shrinvanti katayanti cha
Tapanti vividas tapa
Tapanti vividas tapa
Naitan madgata chetasaha
Naitan madgata chetasaha Madashraya katamrishta
Madashraya katamrishta
Shrinvanti katayanti cha
Shrinvanti katayanti cha
Tapanti vividas tapa
Tapanti vividas tapa
Naitan madgata chetasaha
Naitan madgata chetasaha
Madashraya katamrishta
Madashraya katamrishta Shrinvanti katayanti cha
Vedanti
vividas tapa Daitanad gata chetasaha Okay. Madashraya
Madashraya
About me
About me
Kataha
Stories
Mishtaha
Mishtaha
Delightful
Delightful
Shrinvanti
Shrinvanti
They hear
They hear
Katayanti
Katayanti
They chant
They chant
Cha
Cha
And Tapanti
Tapanti
Inflict suffering
Inflict suffering
Vividaha
Vividaha
Various
Various
Tapaha
Tapaha
The material miseries
The material miseries
Na
Na
Do not
Do not
Etam
Etam
Unto them
Unto them
Matgata
Matgata
Fixed on me
Fixed on me
Chetasaha
Chetasaha
Their thoughts
Their thoughts
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Engaged constantly in chanting and hearing about me the Supreme Personality of Godhead the sadhus do not suffer from material miseries because they are always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. Purport. There are multifarious miseries in material existence, those pertaining to the body and the mind, those imposed by other living entities, and those imposed by natural disturbances. But a sadhu is not disturbed by such miserable conditions because his mind is always filled with Krishna consciousness and thus he does not like to talk about anything but the activities of the Lord. Maharaj Ambarish did not speak of anything but the pastimes of the Lord. Vachansi Vaikuntha Gunanuvaranane He engaged This is Maharaj Ambarish, engaged his words only in glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sadhus were always interested in hearing about the activities of the Lord or his devotees. Since they are filled with Krishna consciousness, they are forgetful of the material miseries. Ordinary conditioned souls, being forgetful of the activities of the Lord, are always full of anxieties and material tribulations. On the other hand, since the devotees always engage in the topics of the Lord, they are forgetful of the miseries of material existence. In the sixth chapter of the Gita, Krishna describes meditational yoga, and he describes the perfection of yoga or samadhi. Yasmin stito nadukina gurunapi vichaluyate. Being situated in samadhi, one is not moved, he's not disturbed by even the greatest suffering. It is not that there is no pain. The nervous system of a yogi is more acute. He feels more. The person who is in the tamogun, he doesn't feel, because he's intoxicated. The alcohol, or whatever is intoxicated, in the case of alcohol, alcohol is an anesthetic. So he doesn't feel pain. He could bang his head and he could be bleeding. He doesn't really realize it because he's so intoxicated. That's one way to avoid pain, is to be in tamogun. But a yogi is in sattvagun, or better, and he feels more. His senses are more acute. He'll feel the pain more, actually. The body will be more sensitive, in a sense, literally. But his consciousness is not focused on the pain. His consciousness is not focused on the physical senses. At least, if he's an advanced yogi, he's achieved pratyahara. He's withdrawn the senses from their objects. The senses, the attention is drawn inward. That means you don't pay so much attention to the outside. That's pratyahara. And you have to accomplish that first before you can move on to concentration and perfect trance. Dharana, dhyana, samadhi. But first has to come pratyahara. So the yogi, yasmin stito, being situated in samadhi, certainly, even the most terrible pain, although he may feel it, it won't cause him to give up, to become deviated from his concentration, from his meditation. Now that's in general about a yogi, but a bhakti yogi is also a yogi, and Krishna thinks he's the best yogi. Yoginam api sarvesham madgatenam paratmana shudhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamomata. The best yogi, the most yoked in yoga, the most connected with me, is the one who's shudhavan what is it? How does it begin? No, the first line. Yeah, of all yogis, one whose mind is fixed on me and is always, with faith, worshipping me. He's the best yogi. That's a devotee, a Vaishnava. So, the non-devotees, the Mayavadis, they practice this Ashtanga system, but the Vaishnavas also can practice it. But when they get past pranayama, that's standard. The asanas, niyama, asana, pranayama. These are physical processes, physical exercises. So there's not much. Well, there are different systems. There are different systems of exercise. There's traditional Patanjali system, then there's the Hatha system developed later on by Goraknath and others. Yeah, so there are variations in the exercises. Some practice different asanas than others, but the basic principles are the same. They're physical exercises. It's not, because when you get to the subtle level, then it's harder to learn what is to be done. It's very subtle. But the impersonalists, they practice the tantrics and the mayavadis, and those who don't know anything but the Ashtanga system from the yoga textbooks, they practice dharana, or concentration of the mind, in abstract ways. They focus on the different chakras, or on some pratika, symbol, They imagine some symbol, maybe some geometric forms and colors that represent the different energy centers, the chakras in the body. Or they can make anything into a pratika or a symbol, chikna. They can, their favorite Ishtadeva, or a tree, or a flower, or their girlfriend, or their mother, they can think about anything and make that the symbol for their concentration. The idea is they have to somehow fix their mind on one point. Ekagra chitta, this is dharana. And the mind has to be, we withdraw it from the senses, the mind, then you have to fix the mind on one point. That is preliminary to dhyana. There are methods for dharana. Dhyana, there's not so much methodology. Dhyana is supposed to develop naturally. But there's a discipline. There is sadhana for dharana. The Upanishads and the Yoga Shastras teach meditation on the chakras, on symbols, on prana itself. You can meditate on the breath. You can meditate on the breath traveling from one chakra to the other, around in a circle, in a cycle. Different kinds of dharana. And then there are upasanas in the Upanishads, mental exercises for meditation. The dahara, vidya, many 33 different vidyas, which are upasanas or practices for dharana, for fixing the mind. But the Vaishnava doesn't need to practice any of these methods. By Harinam and by studying of the Bhakti Shastras, Srimad Bhagavatam in particular, this easily is the practice of dharana. This is our sadhana for fixing the mind on one point. To remember Krishna. Krishna's lila, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's devotees. We, just by hearing, chanting, reading, singing songs, we're practicing dharana. Fixing the mind on one point. We don't have to make up some symbol or see colors or triangles and squares. And all sorts of abstractions and imagined meditation. This is natural. This is a natural form of meditation, of dharana, of fixing the mind on one point. And when you accomplish that, then you will not be distracted by anything. Real dharana means that nothing can distract you. Not just you have some momentary concentration, and as soon as there's any, you know, just any noise or anything happening, then your meditation is broken. That's not real meditation. Real meditation is the whole world can blow up and you won't notice it. That's actual dharana. No matter what happens, you're not distracted. So the Vaishnava can reach that point. Tapanti vividas tapa naitan madgata chetasa. By fixing their minds on me. And again, Kapila means me, Vishnu, and all my forms of Vishnu, not only Kapila form. He's speaking here on behalf of the personality of Godhead and all his avatars. Madashraya katam mishta shrinvanti ketayam ticha. This is their sadhana, their discipline for fixing the mind. They listen to stories about me. They listen and they also repeat them. That's the whole sadhana. You know, it's our Dhyana Mangalam. Where does that come from?
Dhyana Mangalam?
I think that phrase is there in the Gopi Gita or someplace. Oh. Yeah, Dhyana Mangalam. That all auspicious object of meditation. The auspiciousness of our meditation. That's Krishna. Yeah.
Krishna.
Yeah. I think the gopis are calling Krishna then, Dhyana Mangalam. They're Dhyana. The gopis, the older gopis, they're home taking care of their, you know, their children, doing the household work. But Prabhupada says for materialists, to be involved in household activities is, you know, is death for spiritual life. It means you'll never have any opportunity to think about Krishna. You'll be so busy doing materialistic things, maintaining your family, running around doing material business. But for the Brajbasis, They're very busy doing what looks like the same kind of household work. But while they're doing their household work, they're singing and remembering about Krishna, thinking about him, and chanting about him, hearing about him. Their mundane work, so-called mundane work, the mundane work of the Vrijvasis, is their perfect meditation. That's their sadhana. For dhyana, for dharana, for fixing the mind on Krishna. It works. When devotees are actually attracted to hearing and chanting, then everything they do is a stimulus for remembering Krishna. And they don't waste their time not hearing and chanting. Ever. Smaranena kalaha, Mahaprabhu says in the Shikshastaka. Namna makari bahudha nija sarva shaktis. You've made your names appear in many forms, and you've imparted unto these names all of your various energies. And tatrapita, they've been imparted or placed into those names. Smaranena kalaha, there is no stipulation of when is the right time and when is the wrong time for doing this remembrance of Krishna's name, Nam Smarana. Anytime. Maybe you should not take your japamala into the toilet or out in the stool field. But you can take Harinam any place, even there. The remembrance of Harinam does not stop. Is that right? Am I wrong? Even in the toilet, you can chant. Maybe you can keep your mouth quiet. You can do it silently, but you should chant every place. Harinam. No limitation where and when and how. So, in this sadhana, the dharana can go on all the time. We can practice constantly, fixing our minds completely on Krishna. Because there's so much of Krishna to think about. It's not a boring or a limited topic. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati made plans to print a daily newspaper just about news of Krishna consciousness. Krishna conscious daily newspaper. And someone questioned, how can you fill up a newspaper every day just with Krishna katha? And he answered that, you've got your mundane newspapers. They manage to fill them up with all sorts of garbage every day. They find something to write. But the news of Vaikuntha is so much more interesting. We can print a complete newspaper not only every day, every minute, and fill it full of news of Vaikuntha. Every minute we can print another newspaper. Different news. Daily? We do? Oh. Okay. So there's so much to remember about Krishna. It's not hard, to focus the mind. You can just think about any of Krishna's leelas. And the Srimad Bhagavatam in particular is full of so many things about Krishna and about Krishna's service and about Krishna's devotees. Kathamrishta. Very delightful stories, the way Prabhupada translates it here, or in the word for words at least. So why don't we do that? Because we're still attached to material work. We don't trust the process. We don't trust Krishna. Tavat karmani kurvita. Nanu vidyate yavata. You may say, I have to continue to do my karma. I have my karmic obligations to my family. My mother and father expect me to do this and that. My wife and children expect me to do these other things. My country expects me to do this. My neighbors expect this, and I have some plans of my own also. So I have so many karmic duties. I'm sorry, I cannot give myself fully to Krishna, to his service. Krishna tells Uddhava, okay, someone has to continue to do his work, his mundane obligations. But he only has to do it until he realizes he doesn't have to do it. He doesn't have to do it, but he's imagining he has to do it. So okay, keep on doing it. Krishna won't stop you. In fact, he'll even help you. He'll let you remember him even while you're doing all your material work. You can do your material work and remember Krishna in between, or during. But Krishna says you only have to continue doing it until you decide you don't want to do it anymore. Nanir vidyate yavata. As soon as you don't want to do it anymore, I excuse you. You never asked me. You never asked me, do you have to do this work? You thought you had to do it. Come ask me, I'll tell you you don't have to do it. Nanir vidyate yavata. Until he loses his interest in it. But how will he lose his interest? Maya is so bewildering. She makes us think we have to do these things. I have to work. I have to, work so hard to support my family. I can't trust Krishna to maintain them. I have to maintain them. Why don't I lose my interest in that? Makata shravanado va yavan shradana jayate. Because I haven't developed shraddha, faith in makata shravanado va, hearing and chanting Krishna's katha. This is Krishna speaking to Uddhava. When we develop, turn it backwards now. Take the same statement and look at the other side, the opposite, the contrary. That means if we do develop shraddha in Krishna katha, then we'll lose interest in everything material. When you hear something wonderful, then all these stupid things will be uninteresting. We hear the wonderful activities of Krishna with his devotees in this world and in the spiritual world. Then what the foolish people of this world do will no longer be of interest to us. Let them do it. Jesus' disciples said, "Oh, we're going to a funeral. Aren't you going to come with us?" And his answer was, "Let the dead bury the dead." Not interested. And who is it saying this? What is it? Shruti Apranasyaiva Dehasya Mandanam Lokarajanam. What's the first half of that? Someone's education and all his good works and everything that he does in this world is useless activity, just like decorating a dead body in a funeral. Lokaranjanam, to satisfy the family and the public. The man's dead. You're going to burn his body. But you dress him up very nicely. You put nice mala on him and his best clothes and his spectacles and you comb his hair. He's dead. But just, because his wife and children want to see him nicely before they burn him. Therefore you decorate him nicely and put on his best clothes. And then burn him with the clothes. That's apranasyaiva dehasya mandanam. It's a spectacle, public spectacle of a funeral. It's for the benefit of the people who are, let the dead bury the dead. For the people who are left there, it's for their benefit. The dead man, he's gone already. It doesn't help him that they put on a nice suit, best Baba suit, He's already gone. He's already entered another womb. Okay, they should do the funeral. If they don't do the antyeshti, then that'll be bad for him. But why does he have to? Why do they have to spend money to buy a new suit? He can wear. Well, he's gonna be burned. Just wear something, anything. But they have to decorate him nicely. So what the statement is saying, and I think it's in Bhagavatam. Hari Bhakti Surya. Remember the first half of it? Okay, so it must be Prahlad is speaking most of the Hari Bhakti Sarodhya, so this may be Prahlad speaking. That all the activities of the materialists, their education, their careers, their maintaining a family nicely and doing so much service for their communities, it's all in the same category of decorating a dead body. So let the dead bury the dead. Let the dead people work for their communities, for their family, for their countries. If you develop faith in hearing and chanting about Krishna, you're not interested in all of that anymore. You may be forced into some of it, but you're not interested. And then you don't have obligation to work anymore. You're excused. That's the way it works on the contrary. If you develop Shraddha in Krishna Katha, then your interest in mundane things will be destroyed, and you're excused. You don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to do any karma. You're free. That's the way Krishna said it to Uddhava, and the way Kapila Deva is saying to his mother. They listen to and chant the delightful stories about me, and all the material miseries dumped on them all at once combined cannot cause them any disturbance, because their minds are fixed on me. Hare Krishna. Okay, any questions or comments?
I was just wondering, not so related to people asking, you were saying yesterday about this Chaitanya Charitamrita Mahakavya. Who actually says that it's like bogus?
The argument was, the research was done and developed and presented by Jagadananda. For former Hiranyagarbha, who also has some things that we can't accept, but that his reasoning in that matter seems to be well founded. That he dug up edition published of that back in the 18th century, whatever it was, with the preface by the person who presented it, and it just looked phony. It looked like that person actually wrote the book. He gave some reasons. You can read it. I can dig it up. It's on a web page. Kavi Karnapur. And then the editor who presented it in the 18th century, it was in the manuscript that's deposited, actually sitting, I think, in Radhadamara Temple. Or was sitting in Radhadamara Temple. The editor or scribe of that manuscript wrote that that Rupa Goswami used to very often listen to this Mahakavya. And the whole thing just seemed like a self-advertisement. He gave logical reasons why it looked like a forgery. That whoever wrote the manuscript, he actually wrote the book that didn't exist before. And it seems like a sensible argument. So I was going to study that book, but then I put it aside when I read that argument.
Oh, okay. You know, there's verses that they were looking at yesterday. When Madhavananda sent them, he said that I know what Jagannanda has to say, but it is that Gopal Ghosh has something else, another very interesting perspective in this book that you should ask him. So.
Okay.
I don't know
what it is. But Madhavananda must have heard it, so he can tell us.
It seems like he still has a lot of Shraddha in the book.
Okay. It's not the final word on it. I just... It seemed pretty convincing what he said, but
right.
We can hear the other side of it.
Yeah, right.
Definitely
true. Sorry.
That's not
related to the class.
That's okay. Anything else?
Is it actually true that Hari Bhakti Sudhodaya is part of the Dhyanaradiya Purana?
Maybe, but I cannot locate it in the printed edition that I have. Brihanaradiya or regular Naradiya?
Is there a difference actually?
There are two different Puranas. Brihanaradiya and the Naradiya. Narada Purana is one of the 18 Mahapuranas. Brihanaradiya is an Upa Purana.
Oh.
And they're different. But the Hari Bhakti Sudhodaya, I can't find him there. Neither
right.
one.
Neither.
In the editions we have, it's not there.
Yeah. Right. I remember that that Yati Maharaj's edition was definitely saying it was from there, but...
Well, one thing about the so-called Brihan Naradiya Purana is it's not bigger than the Narada Purana. If it was supposed to be bigger, then part of it's missing. What we have is not bigger.
It's smaller, isn't it?
about the same size.
Oh, okay.
I'll be okay. show for a minute. All right? Okay, thank you.